Okay, grab your Bibles if you would, and I'm going to send you to three different places in the Old Testament, and I put those up on the screen for you to go ahead and find as we're going to continue our study of the Holy Spirit. So we're turning our pages, finding the Genesis, Ezekiel, and Exodus in our Bibles, not necessarily in that order, but we're going to work through those verses this morning and some others as well. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God that we get to open it. Lord God, right where we are today, at our table, next to the computer screen, on next to our phone or our tablet, Lord, right in front of our smart TV, on the couch, we've got our Bibles open. We can praise and worship you. We have the living Word of God. We have the Spirit of God with us. Lord God, so communicate with us through this Word, I pray. Lord God, let us see how you work in the Old Testament. And Lord, let us learn of you today, I pray. We'll do this in for your great name and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, we're going to continue our study of the Holy Spirit today, as I said, and we're going to begin to turn our attention to the work of the Holy Spirit. So last time we were together, we were looking into the deity of the Holy Spirit, and one of the evidences that I used or drew from Scripture were the titles given to the Spirit that relate him to the other two persons of the Trinity. So they were terms or titles like the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. But he bears more titles in the Bible than just that. He is the one Spirit of Ephesians 4:4. He is the Spirit of 2 Corinthians 3:18. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of glory in 1 Peter 4:14. He is the Spirit of life in Romans 8. He is the Spirit of holiness in Romans 1:4, the Spirit of wisdom in Exodus 28:3 and Ephesians 1. He is the Spirit of truth in John 14, and the Spirit of grace in Hebrews 10:29 and Zechariah 12. And the term that we most commonly know the Holy Spirit by in the New Testament is that of the Comforter. That Comforter listed, described for us in John 14 and 15 and 16. And these titles, they point us not only to who he is as a person, but they also point us to what he does as God. So as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit this morning, I want to just go back to the beginning and then work our way forward through the Old Testament and hopefully just sort of follow the progression of God's revelation. So we're going to begin that by going to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the first work of the Spirit that we identify is his work or activity in creation. The Holy Spirit was active in creation. Our introduction to God the Holy Spirit begins here. John Walvoord wrote, "The first reference to the Holy Spirit is in the scene of darkness and chaos described in Genesis 1:2. The Spirit moved," he writes, "which signifies a gentle motion like that of a dove over its nest." Walvoord continues, "Without him, all was a dead sea, a confused heap with covered darkness. But by the moving of the Spirit of God, there was order from chaos and form from void and life where there was only nothing." So the Holy Spirit was active in creation. But there are glimpses of that activity for us given elsewhere in the Old Testament. In Job 33:4, one of Job's friends speaking to him says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Now that breath, remember, is that Hebrew word ruach, the word for spirit in Genesis 1:2. So the Holy Spirit was active in giving life to man. Then in Psalm 33:6, the Spirit was active in creating the host of heaven. "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts." Now that word heavens, it refers to the sun, the moon, the stars, and the hosts is a word that is used to describe a mass of people, often in the Bible used to describe an army, but sometimes it's used to describe those very heavens. So commentators are kind of split two ways. They say all their hosts could be the mass of stars, that the breath of his mouth, the ruach, the spirit made, or it could be used to describe the array of angels that were created. The host of heaven is often a term that refers to the angels. But either of those interpretations gives us a glimpse of the Spirit's activity in creation. Then again, over in Job 26:13, there's another reference that tells us a little bit, gives us a glimpse, if you will, of the Spirit's activity in creation. There in Job 26:13, we read, "By his Spirit he adorned the heavens." And, you know, that's a New King James Version, that verse. That some translations in your Bible, they're going to read, "By his breath the heavens are cleared." The NIV is going to use the word fair. The Young's is going to use the word bright or beautiful. One translation will use the word bright, and the King James will use the word garnished. But to adorn, it refers to making something look neat and clean or clear. The idea of adorning is the sense of decorating, making the heavens beautiful. By his Spirit, he made beautiful the heavens. Who hasn't stood out under a clear, starry night and looked up and exclaimed, "How beautiful, how majestic are the heavens," and given praise to God who created them? That is the work of the Holy Spirit in creation. And to that I will add this, that in the New Testament we learn that the Spirit, all that the Spirit does, glorifies the Father. And we see that principle at work right here in creation, because Psalm 19:1 says that the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. So not only was the Holy Spirit active in the creation of man, giving him life, and the host of heaven, he was active in making the heavens beautiful so that the Father is glorified by that which is created. So as we move through the Old Testament, we also see that the Holy Spirit not only was active in creation, but he was also active in people. Take a turn over to Exodus chapter 31, if you will. Exodus chapter 31. Here in the context, Israel had been freed from Egypt. The people are at Mount Sinai where Moses was given the law. And in chapters 25 through 30 in the book of Exodus, God gave Moses instructions for building the tabernacle, the place in which he would dwell and meet with his people. He gave him, in a sense, if you would, the blueprints for that tabernacle. Then in chapter 31, God tells Moses this. He says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name B, the son of U, the son of H, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for works in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones, for settings and the carvings of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I myself have appointed with him O, the son of A, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all who are skillful I have put skill, that they may make all that I have commanded you.'" So God not only gives Moses the blueprints, but it says that he provides by the Holy Spirit the skill, the wisdom, and the creativity needed to construct it all. The tabernacle where God would dwell was going to be constructed by people who were led by a man equipped for the job by the enablement and empowerment of the Holy Spirit who dwelt in him. In verse 2, God is said to give this man, through his Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. In verse 6, God gave skills, and that word skills is literally the Hebrew word for wisdom. Wisdom to certain men to not only build, but to craft, as verse 4 states, with artistic design, the place where God would dwell with his people. This would include, in verse 7 of Exodus 31, the tent of meeting, and the ark of testimony, and the mercy seat upon it, and all the furniture of the tent. The table also and its utensils, and the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering also with all its utensils, and the laver and its stand, the woven garments as well, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons with which to carry on their priesthood. The anointing oil also, and the fragrant incense for the holy place, they are to make them according to all that I have commanded you. And all that which God has commanded them to make, he has enabled them to make by the presence and the power of his own Holy Spirit. You know, Adrian Rogers wrote, in the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. I think it's great to see this illustration of the Spirit of God working through the people of God to build the temple of God, because it's not changed in one iota from today. What God did by the Spirit in the Old Testament, he is doing today by the power of his Spirit in his church. He is building a temple where he is glorified and worshiped. He is building a temple that brings glory to him, and he is enabling people through the gifting of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that task. Something for us to think about when we think it is not important to be a part of a local church. What God did by the Spirit in the Old Testament, he's doing today through the power of his Spirit in his church. You know, the Old Testament also reveals that the Holy Spirit indwelt certain people in Old Testament times. One example is those people we just looked at in Exodus chapter 31. But also, he indwelt the prophets. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2. Go there if you would. Ezekiel chapter 2. Look at just a single couple of verses there at the very beginning of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a man who was taken captive to Babylon following God's judgment on the kingdom of Judah. And from there, he had about a 20-year ministry of speaking the word of God to the people who were captive. But in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says here that he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you." God is speaking to Ezekiel, and as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And I just draw your attention to that verse. Here's another place where the Spirit of God is at work. He's at work in indwelling certain men or people in the Old Testament. What is true of Ezekiel could be said really to be true of all the prophets. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says that no prophecy was ever made by the act or will of man, but it was made by men who were by the Holy Spirit. So what's true of Ezekiel would be true of every Old Testament prophet. In Micah chapter 3:8, Micah says this, "On the other hand, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious acts, even to Israel his sin." Balaam in Numbers 24:2 says the Spirit of God came upon him. Joshua, Numbers 27, verse 18, God said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him." Daniel is described repeatedly in the book of Daniel as a man in whom is the Spirit of the holy gods. Amazai is a Jewish man who, along with some other fighting men, came to David when he was exiled after he was anointed king. 1 Chronicles 12, he's on the run from Saul. Here comes these men, and there David comes out to greet him and these fighting men in 1 Chronicles 12 and says, "If you're here peaceably, then I'll join with you. If not," he says, "I'll do away with you." And it says in 1 Chronicles 12, 18, that the Spirit came upon Amasai and he spoke the right words to David. I think of the judges. The book of Judges is this cyclical story about Israel, where Israel sinks into sin and God then sends a nation to oppress them. And then they cry out to God, and God raises up a deliverer who sets them free from that oppressive enemy. And then they come back, and they get right with God, and they follow God, and then that judge dies. And they sink into sin again, and they become oppressed by an enemy that God allows because of their sin. And then they cry out to God, and the process is repeated. But each of those judges in the book of Judges is said to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. Samson and Gideon, along with others, were all judges that God raised up to fight and to deliver Israel and to set them on a path of right relationship with him. And each one is said to have been given the Holy Spirit. And then before you leave the Old Testament here, go back to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. And look at the story of Moses and the 70 elders. Numbers chapter 11. In Numbers chapter 11, God is angry at the people's poor attitude about the manna that God gave them to eat every day. Here these people are, they're out in the wilderness, God is leading them around, and he has given them manna every day. They've grown tired of it. They have a bad attitude about the food that he's providing, and God is angry at them because of that poor attitude. And the Israelites are angry, and they're ready to mutiny against Moses. And Moses is this man caught in the middle. So Moses complains to God in verse 11, "Why hast thou been so hard on thy servant? And why have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou hast laid the burden of all this people on me?" So God, Moses is complaining to God, why have you given me this tremendous burden? Why don't you like me? Why did you give me this job of leading these people? And he's complaining to God. So God gives grace to Moses. And it says in the story that he has him select 70 elders who stand with him. So jump to verse 24 and 25 in Numbers 11. Here's what God does. So Moses went out, told the people the words of the Lord. Also, he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and stationed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud, spoke to him, and he took of the Spirit who was upon him and placed him upon the 70 elders. And it came about that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. So we see the Holy Spirit being given or coming upon certain people in the Old Testament. Saul, the first human king of Israel, is another example of the work of the Holy Spirit. Saul, it says, after he was anointed to become king, the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. Joseph is another case in point. Pharaoh says of Joseph, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" David, in 1 Samuel 16:12, says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. So in the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit indwelling some people, equipping them to build, to understand, to administrate, to fight, to deliver, to speak the right words, to lead, to rule, to be wise. But here's something about the Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament that is also true. We see that the Spirit was removed from people in the Old Testament. In Judges 13:25, we read that the Spirit of the Lord was stirring in Samson, the judge. Then in 16:20, we read that the Lord departed from Samson, taking his strength away. In 1 Samuel, we read of the Spirit of God coming upon Saul as he was anointed by Samuel. But then in 1 Samuel 16:14, it says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him." Even in Psalm 51, when David sinned, we find there that David is pleading with God in his repentance, "God, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." So we take this little tour through the Old Testament, and we find the work of the Holy Spirit saturating the Old Testament record. Throughout history, he worked in the individuals he indwelt, and he ministered to the entire nation. Even during the season of Israel's wandering in the wilderness, in Nehemiah 9:20, it tells us that God did give his good spirit to instruct them. So really, as we finish our time together this morning, I just want to leave you with some observations regarding the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. First, I would say this, that the giving of the Holy Spirit was a sovereign act of God. Repeatedly, God says, "I will take of my spirit," or "I have put my spirit upon this person," leading me to conclude that no one could solicit, purchase, manipulate, negotiate, or any other thing for the Spirit to work through them. God is the one who determined who would receive the Holy Spirit and for how long. Secondly, the Holy Spirit was given to enable the accomplishment of a task. The Holy Spirit was given so that a person could be enabled to accomplish a task. He wasn't just there as a companion. He was there to do something in someone so they could do what God desired be accomplished. Whether it was delivering his people from their enemies, whether it's calling out the nation's sin, revealing truth, whether it's administrating a government, leading a people, speaking wisely, crafting a temple, or creating a garment for the high priest to wear. The Holy Spirit had a purpose for indwelling or coming on a person. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit does not work independent of the Father or the Son. When he instructs, it is with truth. When he builds, it is according to the blueprints of the Father. When he enables, it is always to accomplish what God the Father has willed. So what we have uncovered as we look into the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, really it serves to show us the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in every age. The work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament saturates every page. And it shows us the importance of the role of the Spirit in any age. So I'll just leave you with this morning, that we would be encouraged to yield to the Holy Spirit, who is as much at work today in us as he was in those Old Testament characters we looked at this morning. May we be encouraged to yield to him, that he may do in us all that our Father designs and desires. Father, our time together today, short as it was, as we just sort of cruise through a lot of Old Testament verses, a lot of information, but we get a glimpse of your Holy Spirit at work, and a glimpse of what his role was in the Old Testament in creation and in sustaining the nation of Israel and accomplishing your will here on earth by empowering people to accomplish it. Lord God, I pray that we as a people would recognize the role of your Spirit in our lives, that we would yield to him, that we would submit ourselves to him, and we would allow him to control our thinking and our emotions and our actions, that we might be vessels fit for righteousness, that we might be the continuing story of God's will being accomplished on earth, and that it would be done through the enablement and empowerment of your own Holy Spirit. Lord God, give us wisdom in all that we've learned today. Give us understanding, I pray, and speak to us through your word and your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, until we can meet together physically face to face, please keep looking up with thankfulness, keep looking outward with compassion, and keep looking inward with much grace. God bless you all. Miss seeing you. Hope to see you soon.